since today is the feast of St. John Vianney and he's the patron saint of priests, I'd like to just start with a few thoughts about him. He's a beautiful man and he's a popular saint and he's a great example of a priest. In our times, there has been a lot of turmoil associated with the priesthood, confusion about the identity of the priest, scandals that arise from the misbehavior of priests, questions even about the priesthood itself, whether we need it anymore. And there's been a corresponding growth in emphasis on the importance of the priesthood. Of course, every priest experiences this on the anniversary of his ordination. There's a lot of joyful greetings and fanfare. And then in the liturgical year, we have the day of prayer for the sanctification of priests. That's on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Now we have this new feast. It just popped onto the calendar. It was in June. I can't remember the date, but it's some Thursday in the Easter season. It's the Feast of Jesus Christ, the Eternal High Priest. Then, of course, there's Holy Thursday. On Holy Thursday, everybody greets priests because that's the day of the institution of the priesthood. Then we have today, and in the Philippines, the Sunday closest to this day is also St. John Vianney Sunday. So that's this upcoming Sunday. Today's feast, or today's saint, gives us an opportunity to see the priesthood in its purity, in its beauty, because the saint whom we honor is such a humble man. It's as if he disappears himself, because everything we know about him is his priestliness. His humanity is kind of ordinary. He's not a particularly striking figure. He's not even attractive. He's kind of a quirky little fellow. And he didn't attract much attention in his life, at least in his early life. He was not well educated, and that's why he was late in entering into the seminary, and he was older than all his classmates, so they thought of him as being kind of backward. He was not stupid. Sometimes people think he was stupid. No, but he wasn't educated, so it was harder for him to get through his seminary studies. And he lived at a time of extraordinary turmoil. He was born right before the French Revolution, so you think of the Reign of Terror and the rise of Napoleon and all these really so big social and cultural upheavals. When he was ordained, they put him in a remote, neglected parish, Ars, meaning they didn't expect much of him, and they didn't really do anything. They just kind of threw him off to the peripheries. And there he got there, and the parish was neglected, and the people were not interested in the faith, and nobody was going to Mass, the sacraments. And so it was a real dead-end job. But he, in his own pure-hearted, full of faith way, just persevered. And he was the parish priest there for 40 years. And over time, actually, the people who started to recognize it first were the people of ours themselves. It wasn't his fellow priests didn't think anything of him. His bishop didn't think anything of him. But the people realized, hey, we've got a holy priest. And they started to change their lives, and people started to be attracted to this humble little priest. I mean, he wasn't, by most accounts, he wasn't a miracle worker, although there are some miracles attributed to him, but he wasn't a great preacher. He didn't write great theological works. He didn't, you know, do extraordinary things. He became known mostly as a confessor. Hours and hours of hearing confessions. And what people liked about him in the confessional was he didn't ask too many questions and he didn't give very heavy penances. So, but it wasn't only that. It wasn't just, oh, he's an easy guy to go to. People felt they encountered Jesus. They felt like they were in the presence of God. They experienced something otherworldly in this man. He himself, when he spoke about the priesthood, was able to speak so highly of the priesthood because he was so forgetful of himself. No one would accuse him of boasting. When priests talk about the priesthood, naturally, people think, oh, he's talking about himself, he's promoting himself. That didn't happen with St. John Vianney because he was, like I say, almost invisible. Poured out into his priesthood to such a degree that when he spoke about the priesthood, everyone could see that he was talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ and that gift given to the ordained ministers. Whereas with most of us priests, it's a little hard to see Jesus Christ because the personality or the gifts or the sins or the weaknesses of the priest tend to obscure the picture of Jesus. But with this today's saint, no. You really see who Jesus is. It happens that on this feast day, we read this crucial passage from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 16. This is sometimes referred to as the confession of St. Peter, but it's also a revelation of who Jesus is. You know this passage, we read it a number of times during the year. Jesus asks, who do the people say that I am? The various answers are given. No, nice answers, but they're all wrong. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter gives the correct answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the one who was promised, who is now here, Savior of the world. That's the right answer. And that's the answer that we still hold to this day. That's the answer of the church, the answer of the Pope, the answer of everybody who's in union with the Pope. It's the Christian answer. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Messiah, the Savior, God and man. He's the Son of the living God. Jesus says, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This is not human insight. You didn't learn this from anybody. This is an example of divine revelation. My heavenly Father revealed this to you. It's one of the few places where it's clearly specified the difference between human knowledge and divine revelation. My heavenly Father revealed this to you. And Jesus perhaps knew that the Father was going to reveal it. I don't know. He did ask the question. So perhaps he knew that the time had come for the truth to be revealed in this extraordinary way. But if he didn't realize it, he certainly recognized it when he heard Peter speak. If he was testing the apostles to see what they knew, maybe that's all, you know, he was trying to figure out how far along they had come. But as soon as he heard Peter speak, he said, this is the work of my Father in heaven. This is the revelation of my identity in the world. And now it's time for me to go to Jerusalem and lay down my life. That's why the very next thing, after Jesus gives Peter his commission as the rock, then he says, okay, now I'm going to go to Jerusalem and fulfill my role as Messiah. You have declared who I am. Don't tell anybody. Now that the Father has made it clear that it's time to be revealed, I'll go to Jerusalem. Here we see, like I said about John Vianney, we see the contrast between the work of God, the divine revelation, and the ordinary human vessel. St. John Vianney was an ordinary man, simple man, but he had an extraordinary divine gift and power working in him. He was a priest of Jesus Christ. Well, Peter was given a revelation of the identity of Jesus Christ, and then just a few minutes later, he's opposing him. No, no, Jesus, you can't go to Jerusalem and lay down your life. No way, no way. That's his humanity. That's flesh and blood. That's a flesh and blood reaction to suffering. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Don't give room to that tendency to resist the revelation of God. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Distinction between divine revelation, divine thinking, and human thinking. Here we are, we're not as holy as Saint John Vianney, but we are privileged to receive this gift of divine revelation, to know who Jesus Christ is, and to be invited to follow and serve him and make him known. Now, that gift is put in very fragile human vessels. Priests are not the only sinners in the world. We're all sinners. And we're all given a share in this gift. So it's important for us to be able to make the distinction between what is possible humanly, and I've preached on this many times, what's possible humanly and what's impossible for man but is possible for God. A man, flesh and blood, cannot multiply loaves, cannot walk on water, cannot save the world. But God, through his instruments, can feed the world, can save the world, can make known the beauty, the truth about God. And that's part of what he's inviting us into. So with the great inspiration of Saint John Vianney, and with our prayers for our priests, let's continue this journey of celebrating the revelation of Jesus Christ and building on or working with the rock, the church, that will not be overcome, that will not be resisted by the gates of the nether world.